Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It is first and goal to go right at the 10. All right, give him the ball.
You know, I was made fun of because I said during training camp, I could see a scenario where Matt Lacoste catches five or six touchdowns this year. Because what we were seeing out of him in training camp, Al, was this amazing red zone threat that we thought people might overlook. That people just, you know, he wouldn't be high on their radar. Now with Jeff Heuerman injured, unfortunately, Al, could you see Matt Lacoste, of all people, playing a pivotal role in these final five games?
I can. What I can really see is that the production from the running backs and the tight ends will pick up because, you know, D-Mac, as wonderful as it was yesterday for us to get that win, we weren't great on third down.
Oh, no.
So
we weren't great on many things.
Right.
With 3 for 11 on third down, 27%. Steelers 5 of 14, 36%.
Right. So either team, neither team was good on third down.
No. But,
you know, at the end of games, third downs and critical moments at the end of games to close games out, those are the most important third downs that you can have.
Yes.
And I do believe that if we take care of our business there, you know, in that last drive with roughly around 4 minutes to go, then the game is done. Remember, they still only had one timeout.
Right.
So
right.
If we just do what we're supposed to do and we don't get blown up, you know, Elijah Wilkerson.
Right.
I keep on saying my man, Elijah Alexander. He's going to kill me when he sees me. But if he doesn't get blown up in the quarterback face and can hold off for a second, maybe we can complete the third down there and we can keep the drive going. But
yeah,
he gave up the cookies.
Yeah.
And that and those kind of things, those type of things don't happen to good teams. So you got to know that this is the most important third down and you can't treat it as a regular third down because the most energy that the defender can give you is going to come now because we need to make a play now. We can't wait.
Let's dig into the numbers after 4:30 as Troy Rank will join us in less than 10 minutes. Al, I am curious, who gets your game balls and why?
Well, for me, you know, I'm going to give the game ball. You know, last time we had a big win, I gave it to the offensive line. It's undeniable this time. It's Phillip Lindsay on the offensive side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the defensive side, you know, I'm going to give the game ball to a guy who played his heart out yesterday. Didn't have a great game, but when the game was on the line, made the biggest play, and that's Bradley Roby.
Okay. And by the way, if Shelby Harris doesn't make that interception, Bradley Roby is right there.
It looked like he was upset that the ball didn't get.
It's hard to imagine Roby wouldn't have got that pick if it got past Harris.
Right.
So he had that play covered. He had Antonio Brown. He was in lockstep.
Yeah, and on special teams, I'm giving to Justin Simmons for the big block.
That was a great play.
Yeah, it was
incredibly athletic. Great play.
And who are you giving your game balls to?
On offense, I think it's easy. I think it's got to be Phillip Lindsay. This kid is, I mean, he is just ridiculous.
He's changing the way that we play football.
Yeah, just absurd. And I heard Zach, like, oh, we got to give him the ball more. And I feel you, but
no.
We only had 53 plays.
Right.
I think if we had 77 plays like the Steelers did, then, yeah, we probably would have given him the ball. But if you look at the percentage of time that he's touching the ball, maybe throw it to him a couple more times. I mean, I could see that. Because we saw what Christian McCaffrey did yesterday. It was awe-inspiring. But Phillip Lindsay for me there. I'm tempted to give... Can I give a half-game ball to Case Keenum for not throwing any interceptions? I mean, to at least protecting the ball?
No, because that doesn't mean that you play well.
Oh, man, I'm so tempted because turnovers meant so much. And he just... All right, fine. Defensively, I think I'll have to give it to Shelby Harris. I mean, the guy had a kid, and then he had the game-winning intercept. Nothing. It's just a fun story. if I had to look at it deeper, it's hard to get. It's kind of hard to give anybody on defense the game ball.
Turnovers really count.
Yeah, oh, of course. But I'm just saying. Count. I'm just saying that the Steelers racked up 527 total yards. I'll give my defensive game ball to Will Parks, because that's a courage, heart, just battling it, and that was a huge turnover that he forced.
That
huge.
Was just one play.
I'll give it to him, though, okay. Because it felt like it changed the tempo of everything that was going on right then and there. I love Chris Harris's pick, too, because the Steelers are up by 7. Everybody's down in the dumps on Twitter. It looks like the Steelers are just going to march through the Broncos. And, you know, Chris Harris just always seems to make a play when you need to have him make a play.
So who'd you give yours to?
I'll give it to Will Parks and Chris Harris with a side helping of Brad.
You can only give it to
one. Will Parks. But I love Chris Harris.
Okay, and I'll take mine back. I'll give mine to Chris Harris.
Okay. And special teams, I agree with Justin. I'll give it to Justin Simmons, and I'll tip my hat to Tom McMahon, the special teams coach. He is dialing up something interesting and different special teams-wise every single time, and they did the right thing by getting Adam Jones out of there, putting River Craycraft in, just moving on with the younger guys. We're seeing that progression. So, way to go, Justin Simmons. And Tom McMahon is crushing it. For all the problems we had with Brock Olivo last year, right, Al? None of that. Just the opposite with Tom McMahon and the guys putting us in situations where we're benefiting big time. So, way to go.
And I'll say this. I'll say this about our defense. If you heard Vance Joseph talk about their strategy, it was not to let Antonio Brown beat them. And sure, they were going to have one-on-ones with 19, he kept calling them.
Right. Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster. Right. And he said if he was going to have a big day, we kind of, you know, said okay, but we weren't going to let their best player beat us.
Right.
D-Mac. They held the Steelers to 17 points, baby.
I know. They gave up.
you can talk about going up and down the field all day you want.
464 passing yards and 17 points.
17 points.
It's a bit ridiculous,
man,
right?
Man, two interceptions.
Two fumbles.
Right.
Well, don't forget that one of these touchdowns the Steelers scored was on special teams on a field goal.
That's right.
So
right.
The defense was responsible for that.
10 points, yeah.
That's right.
10 points from the defense. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
outstanding.
Yeah, if you're going to say that that was a bad defensive performance.
Well, it was weird because they gave up so many yards, but I don't care.
They got to move the ball. They got to move the ball, but they didn't get the score.
I'm fine with it. It's,
just
as long as we know that it took a plus 4, okay?
To beat them by 7.
That's right. As long as we're all in the real world here.
Well, we got to play better on offense, dude.
Well,
seriously, I mean, we got to play better on offense. I mean, this is, you know, I thought for all of the things that Bill Musgrave drew up, by the way, that double screen fake to tight end slip pass, ever since we've played the Steelers, that play has been in the playbook against 3-4 teams. You know, when you split the defense and people are running to their zones and having. I think that was Hyman. Was that the Lacoste or Hyman who caught that ball down the middle on the fake double screen?
Well, we can dig it. We got Troy. We got Troy on the other side, though.
What a great play call that was. It's been in the playbook every year since we played the Steelers.
All right. Troy Rank with the inside of the Broncos locker room. What's going on? The latest and greatest with our main man, Troy Rank, next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, license by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Intercepted by Shelby Harris.
Troy Rank. is our Denver 7 Broncos Insider, presented by the Trinity Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Trinity Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Troy, why don't you give us the story of Shelby Harris's weekend?
Yeah, what a week for him. Just goosebumps all the way around. His wife had their third child on Friday, daughter Evelyn. He's missing sleep, as you would. You know, it was a C-section, but nonetheless, those of us who have gone through that, I mean, that's still a little stressful. Shows up at the game, plays one of his best games as a Bronco, gets the interception, whether it was by accident, luck, whatever, he gets it. So I talked to him after the game, D-Mac, and I said, is that your first? He goes, first child or first interception? third child, first interception. He was going to the hospital afterward to take his wife the game ball he was presented. So
that's
what a
awesome
weekend for Shelby Harris. And honestly, he's one of the funnest guys we deal with on a regular basis because he just has, like Domantas Petco, he just has great joy in life.
You know, he's one of the most talented of the defensive line. A defensive line, in all honesty, this year hasn't performed to the level where I thought they would. They seem like they are starting to shape up and get more active, you know, and I think that's what you need to have a great defense. Your defensive line's got to just come through. It cannot just be the edge rushers. That was a huge play for the defensive line. But overall, Troy, when you can go plus four, you're probably going to win the game.
Yeah, it's a weird formula. You know, it reminds me a little bit, Alfred, of your guys' first Super Bowl team when your offense was amazing. But you guys would get ahead, and the yards didn't really matter because teams were passing all the time. And you blitz with Greg Robinson and get sacks. You look at the yardage total, and it wasn't great, but you guys always got takeaways. And that's still the formula today. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger had 25 completions in the first half, throws for 464 yards. That yardage total was 527, the ninth most the Broncos have ever allowed in franchise history, yet it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Four takeaways. And that's the new NFL, honestly. You can give up yards between the 20s, but at some point, you either have to be good in the red zone to keep them to field goals, or you got to find a way to take away the ball. In the last 2 weeks against Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they've found a way to take away the ball.
Tell us the injury situation today, some bad news, and what's likely to happen.
Yeah, not great. You know, Jeff Heirman's out for the year, three broken ribs, and he also has a bruised lung, so he's going on the IR. That moves up Matt Lacoste, who's been a nice weapon in the red zone. Case Keenum needs that because he's so much better when he has a tight end available in the red zone. So Lacoste will move up, Brian Parker moves up, and then you will have possibly Hemingway get activated from the practice squad. And Shaq Barrett, I talked to him today. He has a hip flexor. The 2 to 4 week injury, he believes he can be back after missing 2 weeks. We'll see. He's dealt with a hip issue in the past, but he is confident that he will certainly be back this season. But will he miss 2 games? Will he miss 4? He's leaning right now on the short side of missing a couple of games. So they need Shane Ray to step up and play better.
Who?
He's had trouble gaining traction this season.
Who's Hemingway?
He's on the practice squad, tight end on the practice squad. They picked up with a month ago. Practice squad guys go in and out. I mean, it's a revolving door. But Hemingway would come up from the practice squad. But they're still weighing their options. He could come up from the practice squad. But right now, the key guy is going to become Lacoste, because he's showing he can be a weapon, especially yards after catch. So they're going to need him to step up. And frankly, he has the last couple of weeks, but now the attention is going to be focused on him.
You know, the best thing I see out of Case Keenum is, quite frankly, when he's in a run-and-shoot type mentality, it looks like he's the most comfortable. He can run, he can move, he can make those tough throws on the run. Is there any chance they'll just open it up and just go to more of a run-and-shoot style for Case Keenum and the short passes to make this thing really work for him? Because, you know, dropping back and looking over offensive line, he had 2 passes that were batted down yesterday. You know, looking over those offensive linemen and trying to get those completions especially on third down, it just hasn't really worked. But I can really see a move offense, a little half sprint, more run and shoot stuff, the things that he did while he was in college. Will they ever get around to that?
Well, I think there's a way to sprinkle in more up-tempo, because you're right, he's way more comfortable in the looks he gets in up-tempo. The problem is you don't want to neutralize the running game.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
Right, and he's been their best offensive player, Philip Lindsay. So as long as you're able to still run the ball, there's a way to do it. I just like when they sprinkle up-tempo in the same drive. So he's under center, then boom, 3 or 4 plays up-tempo. and that catches him off guard, and he gets better looks. So I think that's there's a balance in there somewhere, Al, because I agree with you. And clearly Keenum's he's better in that, in the hurry up. He's shown that. But they can't go all hurry up because I think it would then neutralize Lindsey to some degree.
If 10 is you're fired and 0 is we're building you a statue, where is VJ on the hot seat?
I mean, it's cooled tremendously. You had Adam Schefter on earlier. I would agree with him. You know, it's cooled tremendously because they went through the toughest three-game stretch in 42 years of any NFL team. They're 2-1 in that stretch. And if they find a way to where they're 8-7 the final week of the season competing for a playoff spot, I don't know that I can't imagine he gets fired in that scenario. Now, again, this is what they've got to figure out. Can they handle success? If you go to the Bengals, you lay an egg, you're 5-7. Now, all of a sudden, you go to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, you lose, then again, it changes. But right now, it's cool. But it's not going to go away till the end of the season. These games all matter for Vance. He knows that. He's not naive to think that this three-game stretch has changed everything. It's certainly changed the perspective on this season. But remember, D-Mac, they went into the season thinking they were a playoff team. So he's kind of just gotten them back to where, honestly, they felt like they should have been.
Great stuff. We appreciate it. Troy Rank, brought to you by Tranny Law. Okay, Al, maybe we can dig into that, plus our King Supers fan football pick'em of the night. And time for your reaction as well at 713-1043, 303-713-1043, the RamosLaw.com text line, and also the way to get a hold of us. Plus, we want to thank Del Frisco's for Victory Monday for feeding the crew. It's great to take, I mean, the best.
Hell yeah!
Oh, I mean, the burgers are incredible.
Delicious.
The steaks, the seafood, the service. Del Frisco's legendary. We love Del Frisco's. And now through January 1st, you can receive a $20 bonus card for every $100 gift card purchase. That's all from our great friends at Del Frisco's. We'll get back to more next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and T-Mac.
Backpedaling the near zone, getting rid of it. Off the hit, picking up a man in stride. It's Smith-Schuster. Smith-Schuster inside the 30. Stiff arm, and he's going to go 97 yards for the touchdown.
Absolutely. 1,000 yards in 2 weeks, you know, for our defense, that's tough, but 19.5 and 7 takeaways, you got to take it and be happy about it, I guess.
You do, because they're going to make yards. You know, I mean, yesterday we saw more RPOs from Pittsburgh than we've seen, and I've seen in 5 years from that team, you know, but that's the league now. It looks like run, but it's pass. It's almost impossible to defend, so you have to be a great tackling team and just keep the deep ball from beating you and just tackle the ball and get off on third down, take the ball away. That's the league. That's where it's going. You know, we've actually a lot of yards in 2 weeks, but we've held them to, 19.5 points in 2 weeks and with 7 takeaways. So that's the key in this league. If you can play great red zone defense and hold them to field goals and take the ball away, that's the key. Because the yardage, you have to kind of ignore it, and that's tough for us to do.
Yeah, I don't blame
He's
BJ
right.
on that one, Al.
He's
I
right.
Because you have some pride, at least, and the numbers are disconcerting, to say the least. But you got the turnovers, and, you know, you gave up a 97-yard pass, which isn't great, but... Oh, well, you won the game. You kept him to 17 points. And I was...
Kept him to 10.
Well, okay, that's right. There you go. Defense kept them to 10. They scored 7 on a special teams play. right, so they put up 527 yards and scored 10 points, and the special teams pulled off a nice little trick play. And by the way, can I just say, hats off to Pittsburgh. It was a cool play. I don't know really if there's a lot the Broncos could do about it.
Oh, sure, man. That was just a breakdown from Todd Davis.
Okay, but you don't see a lot of direct snaps to the kicker with throws over the middle.
D-Mac, man, you know, every Friday you go over fakes, okay? Every Friday in the NFL, you go over special team fakes, what could be, what might be. Saturday, you review them again. And what happened is that he fell asleep on the play and panicked and ran out, and Shaq Barrett had James covered, the tight end. And he just was following the wrong guy. His eyes, he didn't have his eyes ready to make a play on that particular play. And if he would have, it would have been a dead play. It would have been a dead play if Todd Davis had his eyes.
Was it a good play? They can make plays, look, man, too, right?
This, no, that's not what this is. I don't want to crush it too much.
It was just a blown play, is what I'm saying. On defense, though, Al.
By the way, I have to say this again because Pittsburgh pulled out all the stops yesterday, and it didn't happen, but on the Antonio Brown pass, I know it happened early in the contest, right? It happened early in the contest where they ran a toss play and a reverse, and Antonio Brown was throwing the ball to Connor down the sideline. Listen, man, they ran that play against the rookie. That was a backbreaker. That's a backbreaking play if they catch it. First play of the second half, they ran a double move on Tremaine Brock. Wide open, D-Mac. He was wide open. They just missed the play. And then, of course, they came back the next time and just ran a go route with Juju Smith-Schuster for 97. That was the second drive. But the first drive, go back and look at it. It was an out and up, and he was wide open. They put out all the stops. They were going for big balls against us all day.
Were you surprised to see, like VJ said, the Steelers run such a large array of RPO with Ben Roethlisberger?
No, because they got beat by the Jets doing that stuff. The Jets ran more RPO against us than any team this year. So whatever the Jets did, teams are going to still try to do it.
Gotcha.
So
that's how you beat the Broncos.
Hey, that's the way they did, you know, but we're going to give up yards. I mean, the days of having a defense that is going to be stingy and you know, have the other team less than 200 yards with these kind of quarterbacks that we're seeing, it's not going to happen.
Were you surprised to see 56 pass attempts and 2 sacks?
No.
Why?
No, because and you know what, man, and like I say, an old salty veteran outside linebacker, defensive lineman, I could tell you when the play was going to be 5-step drop, and I could tell you when it was going to be 3-step drop. Because of the comments that you heard made during the television broadcast where the commentators were saying that, you know, they weren't going to let Von Miller be a game wrecker, every time you saw a tight end over the same side of the line as Von Miller, you should have known it was going to be a 5-step drop. It was going to happen a lot faster. And then when it was a 3-step drop, they didn't need to block Von for very long, and the ball was coming out quickly. So it was like it was respect. It was really respect. So I got it, and I get it, because there's nothing like, as a defender, you know, when you're having, you know, a Pro Bowl year, an All Pro year, to have the offense, you know, feel like they need to take care of you by bringing that tight end over, and all it takes, D-Mac, is just like a shove on the shoulder pads, you know, like. And within the first 2 steps, if somebody shoves you on the shoulder pads, it becomes a much different pass rush.
Al, I have some fantastic news. For the first time, we have a chance to win the King Supers fan football pick'em this week. And Big Sexy is here to tell us how to do that. Yes, Brian.
All right, you are currently tied with Stokely and Zach and Orlando and Sandy with 19 out of 28 correct.
Yikes.
So here's the issue we have here. Both Orlando and Sandy and Stokely and Zach had Minnesota last night. Minnesota obviously beat Green Bay 24-17.
I had Minnesota.
Points. Hold on. Both teams, Stokely and Zach, Orlando and Sandy, they all have Houston tonight. But Big Al, D-Mac, you also got 19 out of 28 correct. D-Mac 10, Big Al 9.
Nice.
Al had Green Bay. D-Mac had Minnesota last night. Both of you have Houston, so the way it works right now is if Houston wins tonight, you will not win.
Why?
I'll do it. Don't worry about it. I'll do it, buddy.
It's because Al had Green Bay last night.
No, don't worry about it. We'll both do it.
Hold on. No. It doesn't make sense for you both to do it.
Why?
Because you only need one point to jump ahead of Orlando and Sandy and Stokely and Zach. So if Tennessee turns around and beats Houston tonight,
yeah,
you'll get 1 point. If one of you switches, you'll get 1 point and get 20.
Yeah.
Now
that'd be great.
Yeah.
We can both change and get 21.
You also take into consideration that Stinkin' Evans and Pritchard and Cecil both have 18 out of 28 correct.
Wow.
Now, tonight, Cecil has Houston, Pritch has Tennessee.
Is there any way we can come in last?
There is a way you can come in last.
Right, that's the big
question.
What's
that way?
Is if you keep everything the same, everybody has Houston, and Houston loses to Tennessee because Pritch has Tennessee tonight, and they are 1 point behind you both. And with the tiebreaker, 41 total points in the tiebreaker, Alfred had 51, Pritch had 50, so Pritch would automatically win the tiebreaker.
So Al really has to switch.
If Tennessee wins tonight,
yeah,
and you do not change at all,
yeah,
then Alfred loses and we'll have to play the shame game.
Oh, so Al needs to switch specifically.
Alfred specifically needs to switch to Tennessee tonight.
Okay.
Because
so Al, not only does that help us win,
not only would it help
prevents
win,
him from losing.
It would prevent him from losing as well.
Oh, this is a no brainer then. So you gotta switch.
I got other things going on, man.
So should I switch to Tennessee? Because at least if I switch to Tennessee, we have a chance to win.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll just say that if Houston loses and Tennessee ends up winning and you both have Tennessee, you'll obviously win. But if Houston wins and you both Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you're right, D-Mac. We should both just do it. Why not?
I just switched it. I got lost early in that explanation.
Right. Let me just go.
It was good, though. So play the King Supers fan football pick'em and at 1043thefan.com and pull for Tennessee tonight.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
I think that's ultimately what I heard.
The Houston crowd is going to be really amped up, you know, since Mr. McNair passed away. I just would hate to make that selection, but
there's another bigger thing, by the way, here. Where are we with the shame game? Because this is week 12.
I would be the same, yeah. Oh.
No, with the walking shame game, the big shame game that I had to go through. Where are we with that?
We'd have to do a little bit of math. It might be on the board behind you, to be honest. So
we
can do some math during the break, though.
Man, I mean, Green Bay, man. Green Bay stinks.
Ow, I'm at the total bottom. I am in big, big trouble. I am not switching. No, I am sorry. I don't care.
Who's number two behind you?
Self-preservation. Pritch.
Okay, so cool. I'll switch it. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is going to, go Texans. Everything for McNair. I'm in last place. I could be doing the walk of shame twice? That is, oh, my Lord.
Shame. Shame.
That was a crazy weekend. Nobody saw the Cleveland Browns, you know, smacking up the Cincinnati Bengals.
Look out for the Browns coming on.
How about the Carolina Panthers losing to the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, how about Baker Mayfield basically telling everybody Hugh Jackson's a jerk? That was kind of a jerky statement by Baker Mayfield, man. That was like,
I didn't hear that. What happened?
I saw
the handshake.
We'll play the audio for you.
But
on
how
the
about
side.
Jacksonville beating up on Buffalo and then reaching out to Patrick Ramsey after the win?
What?
I mean, you haven't seen the tweet from the Buffalo Bills to Patrick Ramsey?
Well, the Bills beat the Jaguars. I don't know what you mean.
You know what? I'll explain it on the other
side. All right. We'll hear from Baker Mayfield. We'll get your calls. We'll straighten everything out next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Alan D-Mac.
All right, Al, what's going on with Jalen Ramsey?
So you remember last year, the Buffalo Bills posted a picture, a video of their quarterback, Josh Allen, throwing his first pass in an NFL practice. And immediately, Jalen Ramsey tweeted, "That's a pick waiting to happen." And even though he took it down, the Bills remembered that. And, of course, after they won the game, the Bills put out there, "That's a pick waiting to happen." Mm-hmm. Just as a get back.
Well, he also called Josh Allen trash.
He did. He said, and he stands by his words. He said okay. They beat him with his feet, and you'll give him credit. They got the win.
Yeah.
But he ran for, I don't know if you know, but Josh Allen, man, almost ran for 100 yesterday.
He
ran for 99 yards.
Yep, dude's a good athlete.
Yeah, he's a good athlete.
He got a
but
W.
Most point, you know
see
what?
Lamar Jackson?
Got another dub.
Yep.
And who else? Baker Mayfield got a dub. And
Sam Darnold's hurt. Josh Rosen's on the Cardinals, and they're just not good.
Yeah.
But
by the way, the Cardinals are cleaning house. They fired their tackle, man. Andre Smith, they fired the big fella.
Okay. Well, I'm you got to make changes.
You just got embarrassed, and usually those things, the reason that you get fired this time of year is because of things that are said in the locker room after the game.
The Jags fired their offensive coordinator today, and Texas Tech fired their coach, too, by the way, if anybody's looking for work. And also, Blake Bortles is benched. Has been benched, so undoubtedly Jacksonville will be in the quarterback sweepstakes, and that more or less tells you Blake Bortles is a complete bust.
Did you say Texas Tech?
Kingsbury? Yeah, he got canned today.
Oh my goodness, man. That one was hard to see because he was the young up and coming coach at Texas Tech and had them in a good position to be a dominant team. But I guess if you have guys like Patrick Mahomes on your team and you can't get wins, it doesn't look good for you.
It doesn't look good for Mike McCarthy either.
It does not look good for you when Patrick Mahomes was your quarterback and he's looking to be like one of the youngest league MVPs this year.
All right, let me give you Baker Mayfield. So the game's over, okay. And Hugh Jackson was fired by the Browns.
Oh, yeah, everybody know, unceremoniously.
He's getting a lot of money, though. He's still getting a lot of money.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
And he took a prorated amount of $250,000. So he gets paid by the Browns, and he also is now getting paid by the Bengals. That's a pretty good deal if you can work that out.
Which means in NFL terms, when you take a lateral job, then that money, sometimes they negotiate how much you can, the Bengals only paying you $250, meaning the Browns are paying you the rest.
Yeah. The Browns are paying them a lot, and the Bengals are hardly paying them anything.
Right.
And the game's over, and Hugh Jackson, seeks out Baker Mayfield, and I think he wanted to give him a little bro hug, and Baker kept him at arm's length. I don't think Baker really saw him. When you see the video of it, I think he kind of snuck up on Baker a little bit, and instead of going in for the bro hug, it was just a handshake with arms extended and didn't get much closer. So after the game, this is Baker Mayfield.
Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. That's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
And he actually went on more than that to talk about how
he's an idiot. Baker Mayfield's an idiot.
I thought Baker Mayfield showed a remarkable amount of naivete.
He is an idiot if I've ever heard one.
It was one of the more immature things.
So he gets fired one place and he can't go get work now?
Yeah.
What kind of statement is that?
A dumb one, especially from somebody who actually transferred from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. Right? So
I didn't even think about that.
I mean, you can make an argument that
now, if you don't like him, you don't like him, but what an idiot.
Yeah, it's a very immature statement. What does he want? Hugh Jackson not to work? Hugh Jackson still, not that Hugh Jackson needs the money, okay? Granted, he doesn't necessarily need the money. But he still wants to be involved with football, and one of his best friends is Marvin Lewis. Why wouldn't he take that opportunity? And, at the end of the game, Hugh Jackson didn't run off the field. He came up to shake your hand. If you got beefs with him, other places, then fine. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Baker Mayfield thought he should have been given the starting job right from the get-go, right? And he shouldn't have had to beat out Tyrod. Maybe. I don't know. Probably, actually, considering the ego of Baker Mayfield. That being said, Baker Mayfield is, a great quarterback and doing great things there in Cleveland. It was a kind of a weird moment, though, right?
I mean, I'm looking at this exchange that he had with Damian Woody. Did you see this on Bleacher Report? Because Woody brought out the exact same thing that you said, that, yes, he transferred from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield goes on his Twitter and says, it's not even comparable. I didn't lose 30-plus games to be fake and then do that. I wasn't going to have a scholarship. Good try, though, buddy. So he wasn't going to get a scholarship from Texas Tech, I guess.
Well, he's right. And nothing, neither one has anything so to do with the other, I guess.
But the bottom line is that Baker Mayfield was looking to, you know, go someplace where he's going to be appreciated. And the bottom line is so was Hugh Jackson.
Well, Hugh Jackson was fired.
Right. Yeah. And he's going to go somewhere where he's going to be appreciated.
I mean, I guess you could compare the two, because if Baker said he was going to lose a scholarship, then that's essentially getting fired.
He didn't have a scholarship.
He walked on there. Okay.
He walked on to Texas Tech. So I guess for him saying, hey, I guess if Patrick Mahomes is going to be the next guy.
Yeah. Which was going to be the case.
Which was going to be the case.
Right. Rightfully so. Listen, there's times.
Hey, man, Patrick Mahomes is the reason that Baker Mayfield is the number one pick in the NFL draft.
There's times that you have to be all about the team, and then there's times you have to look out for yourself. And that's okay. I thought it was a weird response from Mayfield. And I think he says things, and I think young people say things when they're young that they probably would say differently when they get a little bit older.
Did you see Josh Allen's response to Jalen Ramsey's
I did not know.
Comments? His response was classy. He was like, hey, man, it's hard to win in this league. You know, that's a great defense over there. They're in top three defense in the NFL. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, of course. He said, but anytime you can get a win in the NFL – that's big, and Jalen Ramsey is one of the best defenders in the NFL. Complete opposite of what Baker Mayfield did.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be the bad guy. He's going to be the bad guy, and I don't know if I like it, but I know I love it.
Josh Allen's had some regrettable tweets in the past, too. So, you know, all of us, you know, hopefully.
I know, but Baker Mayfield, man, he's pushing buttons right now, man.
You know, he's firing up the fan base. You know, maybe there was stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about that he's angry about.
I mean,
who knows?
He called him a loser, basically. You know, he said you lose 30-plus games. I'm like, man,
You know, you got to admit, though, Al.
Called him fake, too.
Well, you got to admit, when we watch Hard Knocks, we can see things, and we can read between the lines.
I didn't like Hard Knocks.
Didn't like it. It was unbelievable.
I didn't like it.
It showed you Hugh Jackson.
That's why you don't put your whole team on videos.
Didn't you personally like it?
Because it made Hugh Jackson look weak, he didn't have control of the team.
Which he didn't.
He didn't have control of that. He was stripped of his authority.
Yes. So we learned that he wasn't really the right guy.
We learned that he wasn't the offensive play caller.
We learned that, too. He wasn't the right guy, and he wasn't the offensive play caller. He had friction with Todd Haley. And it was not a good scene there. We learned a lot from Hard Knocks. Everything that's happened with the Browns this year, based on what we saw in Hard Knocks, makes sense. How can you say you hate Hard Knocks?
I'm just telling you that I didn't like it. What do you want me to say? I mean, I'm not going to apologize for not liking it. You can like it without me liking it.
Okay. Well, you're certainly welcome to your opinion. I like it from the standpoint that we really saw the inside of an NFL operation, and it played out over the course of a year.
Maybe the reason that I don't like it is because I've seen that before in an organization. And I know what it looks like. And I know when, the one thing that I love these conversations that we have on air, because every now and then, you know, I think you say some things that really, you know, just touch me in a different way. Like, yeah, that's right. Last week when you said, when I said, what are you looking for from a head coach when you are trying to evaluate them? And you said that, does everybody on the team thinks he deserves to be there? I think I'm paraphrasing that, too.
No, you got it.
Okay, and I said, you know, that's really good. That's really good. Because the only thing that I don't care about whether or not the head coach deserves to be there. I care about whether or not I got a winning game plan that week. But I think that if you don't think that the coach is the right coach, how can you believe in the game plan? You got to believe you can win before you can win.